Father and our God, we're thankful once again that we're able to give, for we know that all that we have belongs to you. We pray now your blessings upon this offering and those who were able to give. Bless those who had it not to give, that they too might know that you're still God who cares, and that you're not a respecter of persons. Bless your word that you've given to us this day. For I heard you say, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen.
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 want me. Way back on Calvary's, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never be. It's
as the musicians continue to play, I have some questions to ask. Is there anybody here that it looked like you were not going to get well? And somebody pleaded the blood on your behalf. And now you're up walking around shouting. If you're here, would you just raise your hand? Hey, hey. Is there anybody here that there was a disease in your body called cancer? And the doctor said it's spreading. But somebody pleaded the blood on your behalf. And now they are saying, we don't see any sign of a cancer. If you're here, would you just raise your hand? Woo! Is there anybody here that was in trouble and seemed like trouble was on your street, on your avenue, on your boulevard, and seemed like you just couldn't get away from trouble? And all of a sudden, somebody pleaded the blood. Can I tell you about the blood that runs from the mountain to the lowest valley? And now you are trouble free. Because of the blood. It reaches. Come on, choir. It reaches. Highest mountain.
Oh, and it flows. Oh,
Come on, it reaches.
Oh, it reaches. It reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, yes, the blood that gives me
Hallelujah. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Come on, praise Him in this place. Praise Him. He's worthy. Worthy. Hallelujah. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. I was trying to get us out of here by 12:30. In order to do that, you have to say amen real quickly. It'll be a little bit after 12:30, but it won't be 1 o'clock. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, beginning, see if I can set this up for you. It's after 6 days. Jesus takes his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, away from the other disciples, away from the crowd. And while there in the mountain, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And then there appeared two people out of the past, Moses and Elias, and they were talking with Jesus. And then Peter saw that, and Peter uttered these famous words, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." He said, "Let us start another Baptist church up here. Let us make here three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias." Then they heard a voice, and the voice of God, the heavens opened, and the cloud, bright cloud, overshadowed them. They heard a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Disciples fell as if they were asleep, and Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." They opened their eyes and they did not see Moses and Elias. They just saw Jesus. That's a preaching sermon right there. They just saw Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them to tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be crucified, dead, buried, and risen again from the dead. And then let me just jump down to verse 14. Where the text is, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him," to Jesus, "and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and so vexed, for sometimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." They could not cure him. "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. The child was secure. The child was cured from that very hour. That's another sermon. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing." Oh, that's preaching right there. "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, "Neighbor, come on, help me here. Neighbor, the preacher and I are preaching from the thought." Come on, help me now. "From the thought, achieving the impossible." Achieving the impossible. You may be seated in the kingdom in the presence of Almighty God. Many of us have traveled and have been to Paris and seen the Louvre with the picture of the Mona Lisa. Some of us have been to Rome and seen the Sistine Chapel with the painting of Michelangelo's creation. Some of us have been to the shores of New York City and seen the Statue of Liberty and read the inscription that states, "Give me your tide, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." Some of us have been to Athens, Greece, and stood on Mars Hill, where Paul said to the Athenians in Acts 17:22, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the faces of the earth, and had determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Some of us have been to Bethlehem, seeing the church over the birthplace of Jesus Christ, and then moved out to Calvary to see the place where Jesus was crucified. We have been to the tomb of the resurrection and still have not seen it all. Still, we've seen these things that people thought were impossible, but were made possible because of someone's faith. But we have yet to see God's wonderful love. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what fond kind of love," is literally what the writer writes. Paul writes in Romans 5:6-10, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Can I tell you something? When I look at this text and see what's happening in this text, I discover, first of all, a negative. The Bible said that the man whose son he describes as a lunatic, filled with an evil spirit and not thinking clearly, throws himself into the fire and then sometimes into the water. Listen to what the man says. This is a negative. He said, "Looky here. I thought it was possible that your disciples who had been with you, who had watched you give sight to the blind and make the lame to walk, and who had seen you spit on the ground and anoint the blind man's eyes and send him to wash, these disciples who have heard you preach and seen you feed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, I thought that they'd been around you enough to learn what to do and to have power to do it. But Lord, I discovered when I took them, my child to them, that they could not heal him. That's a preaching point right there. Somebody will say amen. To know that there are some things that man cannot do. There are some things that women cannot do. Only God has the power. We've been to physicians and they have told us that our time is near. But thanks be to God, we still live. And some of us went when we were 50 and now we're in our 90s. And God is still working a miracle in our lives because he is a miracle worker. Because there's nothing too hard for God. I brought my son. The Bible did not say that he was the only son, but the way the man approaches Christ is if he has nothing, no other son but this son. He said, I brought my son to your disciples that they may heal him, that they may cure him, but they could not heal him. And then secondly, I see Jesus speaking to his disciples and saying to them, faithless. You are faithless. It's not the first time that he talked to disciples about having faith. You remember on the storm of sea, in the storm when they were passing over to the other side, that there arose a storm and the winds began to blow and the waves began to beat into the ship, and they disciples were on board. I need to say something to you today. And that is, just because Jesus is in your life, that does not mean that you won't have a storm. That doesn't mean that you won't have some difficulties in your life. He's on board, but that doesn't mean that he's there to stop everything that comes into your life. But can I tell you something? If you call him, if you awaken him, he has the power to say to the waves and to the winds and to the thunder and to the lightning, peace, be still. And whenever he says peace, the reason why he can say peace is because he is the Prince of Peace. I wish somebody had enough knowledge about him to know that when you touch him, he's moved, his compassion kicks into place. His mercy, his love, his grace steps in, and guess what? It steps in right on time. He says to disciples, O ye of little faith. I like what the disciples said about Jesus. Said, even the winds and the waves obey him. Hallelujah. Then he calls them a perverse generation. I wonder why he said that. Maybe he said that because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe he said that because he was aware that sooner or later they would be arguing about who is the greatest. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Maybe he understood that a mother would come up and ask that her sons be given a seat in the kingdom. One on the left and one on the right. I wished I had time to talk about the seats in the kingdom. Some of us vow for seats in the kingdom. We want to be the chairman of this. We want to be the president of that. But let me tell you, it's not, the power is not in the seat. The power is in the name of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, not just some knees, but every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. Jesus is aware of the dissension that that comes in the body of Christ over an office, over the ability to leadership or the inability to lead. And so he says to the disciples, you're faithless. And then he says, you're perverse. But I like the third thing that he says in this text. He says, bring him to me. Bring him to me. There are some things that there are some problems that we have in life that we can't do anything about. But if we take them to Jesus, he has the power, the knowledge, and the strength, and the know-how to change every situation. And so he says, bring him to me. How many of you have carried your problems to Jesus the Christ? How many of you have taken all of your discouragement to Christ, and he has worked it out, and you now have a testimony of God's goodness and of God's love? It ought to be somebody in this place today that can testify that God is a good God. Yes, he is. Even though I go through storms, even though I go through difficulties, even though I go through unemployment, he's still a good God. Talking to a member the other day who had been laid off from a job, and she said, Reverend, I've been laid off and Christmas is coming, and I don't know how I'm going to get the things that I promised I would get for my children. And I said, have you prayed? She said, no, I have not prayed, because I'm angry with God. They had no reason to lay me off. I've been there over 17 years. I just three more years to retire, and they laid me off. I said, let's pray. She said, Reverend, I don't want to pray. I said, you may not want to pray, but I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you that God will reverse the decision. About 2 days later, I got a call. She said, Reverend, guess what? They called me back to work. Is there anybody here that got a pink slip? And now God says, they closed the door, but I opened another door. Is there anybody here that walked through another door because of prayer? Because of prayer. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Sometimes you can't wait for folk to encourage you. The disciples couldn't help the man. They couldn't help the man's son. But guess what? Sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. David said, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me. He heard my cry. Bring him to me. Take your problems to the Lord. You know, sometimes I wonder why are we going through this time of decline or in church attendance? And then the other day I was talking to the Lord, and he said to me, Jimison, it ain't about you. I said, Lord, I preach hard as I can. He said, it ain't about you. It's not about you, but sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, I will praise you wherever two or three are gathered in your name. I'll be in there as you are in our midst, and we're going to praise you because the blood of Jesus Christ flows from the mountain to the lowest valley. When I think about this, disciples seem to abandon the person. Second Baptist, don't kill a person's hopes by abandoning them, but increase their faith by abiding with them. Increase their faith by abiding with them. Don't kill people by giving them an excuse to fail, but give them an example to live with. Finally, Jesus says, bring him to me. And then he says, the impossible is done through prayer. Listen to what the disciples said. Disciples are, if I was one, I'd be mad as I could be. It was reported that I couldn't help somebody. And so the disciples get Jesus privately. And I can hear them saying, Lord, we left all. We left family. We left our business. Because you said, follow you. But we heard you say, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And yet, we followed you. Now, we're powerless. Why couldn't we have done this? And Jesus said to them, some things are done through prayer. Some things are done through prayer. Can I ask Second Baptist something? When in the last time you prayed for the choir that you sang in? When the last time you prayed for the usher board where you serve? When is the last time you prayed for the man of God who stands before you and declare the word of God? Can I help somebody here? If you want something to happen, push. Pray until something happens. I saw a young man with a t-shirt on at Walmart. And he said, on the t-shirt, it said what Mahalia Jackson sings. I found the answer. I found the answer. I learned to pray. Some of us want to travel first class, but we don't pray.
Ain't got no ticket.
That's another sermon. Ain't got no ticket. Robert came home. He flew in for Thanksgiving. His family was already here. He flew in for Thanksgiving. And I said to him, how was your flight? He said, it was fine, Daddy. He said, guess what? Tony Parker sat behind me. I said, you mean tell me he was in coach? He said, no, Daddy, he wasn't in coach. He was in first class. I said to myself, Robert, you telling me you flew first class? He said, yes, Daddy. It was just $20 more than coach. Oh, y'all not walking with me. If you want to fly first class, you need to remember the price that was paid for you to fly first class. I don't know about you, but I'm flying first class. Everywhere I go, even though I'm in the coach, I'm still flying first class because I know a man named Jesus the Christ, and he is a first class savior. He saved us of our sins out on Calvary. This morning, and I'm closing, but this morning I was, you know, I like the westerns. I like Have Gun Will Travel. I like Gun Smoke. I like Wagon Train. Gene Autry. Roy Rogers and Dave. I like them all. So I was reading a book the other day, and the book said that in the stagecoach, as you're riding in the stagecoach that there were classes. You could travel first class, second class, and third class. The first class traveler on the same coach, if the coach broke down, he didn't have to do anything but just sit there. Didn't have to move at all because he was traveling in first class. The second class traveler, he had, when something happened to the coach, he had to get out of the coach and look around and see what was going on. The third class traveler had to get out of the coach, help get the coach out of, oh yeah, out of the mug, out of the miry clay. He had to get behind the coach and push the coach. What God is saying to us today, if you want to achieve the impossible, all of us got to do something. We got to help move the coach. We got to push. If you're singing, sing and pray. If you're preaching, sing, pray, and preach. But don't be in first class. Do nothing. Don't be in second class. Get out and look around. But be in the third class. I don't know about you, but a charge to keep I have. A God to glorify. Every dying soul to save. And fitted for the sky. Is there anybody here that wants to travel with me? I'm going in third class. I'm keep so busy working for my master. I ain't got time to die. Come on now. You want to achieve the impossible. Somebody said that we would never build the community center. And they said if they build it, they ain't going to build it with my money. But guess what? Guess what is up? Somebody saying you ain't going to pay for it. But guess what? I serve a God. I serve a God who's able to do all things but fail. I serve a God who has declared that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't know about you, but I'm traveling in third class because if I work for the master, if I suffer with him, I shall reign with him. Is there anybody here that's willing to work for the master? Is there anybody here that's willing to seek the impossible by praising God? Come on here, come on here, come on here. Help me praise him. Praise him with your hand clap. Praise him with a hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the glory of God. Disciples couldn't help. But Jesus said, bring him to me. And the Bible said that the devils came out of him. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I know how to get the devil out of you. Take you to Jesus. Take you to Jesus. Choir singing. The door to my Father's house is standing wide open. We invite you to come. Church is standing.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I'll praise you, I'll lift you up. My mind, my
my mind, my soul.
My soul belongs to you.
You paid the price.
That's why
my heart is
Hallelujah.